And so I'm glad I have the opportunity. If y'all have come, if any of y'all have come on Wednesday nights, it's just a beautiful time of worship, just very intimate. It's one of my favorite times to come midweek with just 30 minutes packed full of just worship and devotion, and you just leave being really filled, ready to tackle the rest of the week. And so I've shared this before. And I just wanted to make sure that I wanted to give everyone an opportunity. Yeah, people like to talk about ourselves, so I'm going to talk about myself. But more importantly, I'm going to talk about the goodness of God despite myself. oh boy, my notes just disappeared. I'll find it here. You know, there's things in life that just don't make sense. Like, why did my notes just disappear? And that's one of the things I'm going to be talking to you about, why things don't make sense. And we're just experiencing that right now. There we go. Life can just throw some loops at us. It just don't make sense, some of the things that we go through. And then years later, we can look back on our life and go, that's what you were up to, God. Now I see the path. Now I see the pattern. You know, just like the tapestry poem that I included in the bulletin. And I want to read that to you as a reminder. You know, when you see one part of the tapestry, the back side of it, it's just a mess. And then when you turn it around to see something beautiful, a piece of art, that's what God's doing in our life. And we want to argue with him, don't we? We want to say, hey, I don't like this. This is painful. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow. And I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as a needle in a weaver's skillful hand, as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. And we want to take back those choices in our life and just really fight against the God who created us for a specific purpose. And life sometimes just don't make sense. And I want to share with you a couple of things on the screen. Have you ever seen any signs that didn't make sense to you at all? Right lane must right left. Okay. Well, how do you do that? 2-hour parking, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Do we have any math majors in here? I mean, I'm not a math major, but I know that doesn't add up. Do not breathe under the water. Who needs to tell you that? Really? Do not breathe under the water. No right turn. Right lane must turn right. Okay. There are things in our life that we're going to go through that just make no sense at all. And it's not till we see the other side that we can look back and see God's hand at work in our life. Have you ever noticed in your journey that you have not ended up where you thought you were going to be? I never imagined that I would ever become a pastor. Are you kidding me? Me? No. And every single one of us, we go through difficulties, we have obstacles in our life, and we tend to call these obstacles storms. Now, I can say with quite confidence that you're either currently in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're going to go into a storm. Isn't that encouraging this morning? Oh, but there's so many times in my life I have always said, God, I just want to stay right here, right now. I don't want any more difficulties. I want to rest and bask in your presence. And I don't want to have a challenge. I don't want to grow anymore right now, God. I don't want to be stretched anymore. God, just give me a rest. But God's always doing something beautiful and new in our lives. Some of the storms that I've experienced in my life are a result of my own actions, my own sin, my own shortcomings, my own mistakes. And then there's storms that we would experience as a result of the enemy Satan trying to trip us up. And then there's another kind of storm that we face that is not of our own doing. It's that just happens, that we have to carry the scars of. Maybe it's someone else's wrongdoing that has caused trauma in our life, and we're having to overcome that and recover from that. And that kind of storm is a little hard to overcome. It's a little hard to forgive in those kinds of situations when you find yourself in it. If you've lived long enough, you're going to find yourself in a situation like that that you have to overcome. But I'm so glad God gives us our promises and the word to take a hold of. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 says this: we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. You may not know what God is up to in your life, but God does. God does. There's a favorite plaque that I picked up. I should have brought it with me today. I love it because it says, don't tell God how great your storm is. Tell the storm how great your God is. See, God's bigger than anything that we ever face. Bigger, way bigger. And he wants us to be overcomers, and he will help us be overcomers, regardless of if you're coming into a storm, going out of a storm, or getting ready to go back in one. The mystery of God's ways are beyond my comprehension. So no matter how hard I try to understand what God's up to, I get a curveball each time. Because he surprises me with new things. He says that his mercies are new every morning. And he's got new things in store for us, new seasons in our life. In his loving grace, God works out his supreme purpose within and most of all, in spite of our own corrupt human nature. In spite of our brokenness, he works his will and his purposes out in our life. Proverbs 3, 5, 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. So when I rely on God's plan and I trust his wisdom and not my own, he shows me what I need to do in that moment. He won't show me the full picture. Boy, would I love for him to show me the full picture sometimes so I could say, oh, I got it. But see, then I would start walking in my own confidence and not relying on him each step of the way. Now, I want to share with you each step of the way that God has brought me to that I never understood, and quite frankly, I fought him sometimes. See, I was a big executive of Southern Company as a government executive manager, and I traveled a lot, and we didn't even have to budget. I got my husband all kinds of toys that he loved, and I loved my job. I was helping a lot of people within the government agencies, and I just felt like, hey, this is my niche. And then one day, I felt impressed in my spirit that God was saying, I want you to lay your career down. And I went, wait, Satan, get behind me. I didn't hear that right. What? I love my career. Do you love me more? Oh, of course I love you more, Lord. You know I do. I've got better things in store for you. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? I mean, this is this argument I was having in my spirit as God was trying to do a new thing in me. How many of you argue with God when he's trying to do a new thing in you? Sometimes we got to let go of things that we love in order to make room for the greater things that he wants us to do. So I said, yes, Lord, but you got to convince my husband. I knew that he wasn't going to lay down all those toys and all the wonderful things that we had to enjoy together, because then all of a sudden it'd be one income, right? I said, well, when I go home and I tell my husband, you know, I know that we're going to be unified, right, God? You know, I just knew that he wasn't going to go for it. I went and I sat my husband down. I said, I had a really strange thing happen to me today. I felt God say something in my spirit that I'm supposed to quit my career. Can you believe that? And he just looked at me. I believe you've heard from God and I want you to do what he says. I knew that God had already put it in his heart before I was having that argument with God. I didn't think that he would ever say, lay down this amazing career. I thought he would talk some sense into me. But see, God had already intervened and already spoken to my husband's heart to ready it for that message. So here we go. I lay down my career. I spend the next 2 years preaching to my dirty laundry. I had the holiest laundry you ever saw. I began to take up houses, to clean houses in order to make ends meet and to buy groceries for the family. Talk about a switch. What was God doing? Hey, God, I sacrificed my whole career. And I'm preaching to my laundry, really. I know you got to do something. I know you're up to something, but it's been 2 years, God. What was God doing? I can tell you what he was doing. He was getting the me out of me. See, when I came from a very successful place, I need to learn how to give up control of myself and my accomplishments and be able to make room for God to move in and do a work in my life. So he put me in a little molding pattern. A little church we went to, I started teaching the children's program because all they did was babysit, and they didn't have any room for me on the worship team. It was all filled up. And I was like, well, Lord, I know I have that gift. But there was no room, so I began to teach the little children, and I loved it. I loved it. I said, well, God, if this is what you want me to do, this is what I'm going to do until you call me to something else. It was an interesting journey cleaning houses, and I got to meet this lady named Marty, and I started cleaning houses for her and about 3 or 4 other people in this neighborhood I fell in love with. And I asked God, I said, God, one day I'd love to live in this neighborhood. It is so beautiful, so peaceful. Just, I love it. And as I was cleaning for her and others, I was cleaning for a lady that she had a boyfriend I was cleaning for, and he passed away suddenly. He was an atheist, and so was she. And strange thing happened. They invited me to sing at the funeral. And I'm like, wow, I've never been to an atheist funeral before. So I prayed and I said, Lord, what in the world would you want me to do? And so I sang the Lord's Prayer. And I prayed, I said, God, use this prayer to touch people's lives like ever before. This might be the only thing that they get a chance to hear. Lord, let it ring loud and clear in their ears who you are. And I felt God's anointing presence just fill the place as I sang the Lord's Prayer. I went back to clean for her, and she sat me down on the couch, and she said, I believe God sent you for a reason to me, and I want to ask you more about Jesus. And I led her in the sinner's prayer, and she came to know the Lord. But what I didn't tell you, when I was arguing with God after all of a sudden I came from an executive to a housekeeper and a laundry maid, I told God, okay, God, I give it up. If you want me to scrub floors, I will scrub floors for you if this is what you want me to do. And I began to start praying for the people that I was cleaning for and praying in the rooms. Lord, bless this family, Lord, whatever they go through. And I was just having a time. I just released it all to God and said, if this is it, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. And so she left. She left and went for work, and I was scrubbing her floors, and I heard God say in my spirit, do you remember when you said you would clean floors for me? I lost it, y'all. I like to scrub floors with my hands. I was right there in a puddle of soap and wetness and muck, and my tears just saturated the floors. Yes, Lord, I remember. It wasn't for a couple days later that I received a phone call out of the blue from Gulf Breeze United Methodist Community Life Center asking me if I would come on board as their worship pastor. I went, what? You haven't even heard me sing, because they knew somebody that knew of me and Robert. And they said, no, we just feel like it's of God. We want you to come on board. Now, that's a silver platter if God ever laid one out. I just couldn't believe. I love when God lays out silver platters in your life. You who are faithful with a little, he will give you much. Well, the connection continues because Marty, that lady I started cleaning for in that neighborhood, she started coming to my church. And whenever the bishop ended up appointing me to Shamakla, she started coming to church over there, and she got plugged in, and she hadn't been to church in years and years. And they are active now in that church, and it's awesome. Well, Marty had a friend, and I now became like the neighborhood pastor over in my church. God allowed me to buy a house in that same neighborhood that I had been cleaning houses in. Everybody knows me now. I'm now the neighborhood pastor. But they saw where I came from. They saw where I came from. Well, Marty had a neighbor that I never had the privilege of meeting before, just waving, you know, as we passed by. Her name was Jean, and she had cancer. And so I was asked to go over there and pray with her, and so I did, and I would go, and I'd read scripture and sing, and the last hours of her life, she allowed me the privilege of baptizing her, and she invited Jesus into her life. That's a gift. I would have never known that. I did a lot of great things with Southern Company. I loved my career. But then this happens, and then this happens, and you don't understand why God allows so much preparation, but he knows what he's doing. Her husband asked me to officiate the funeral, and he hadn't been to church in such a long, long time. He started coming to my church, but he wouldn't take communion. He said he wasn't worthy of communion. And I began to work with him. I said, you mean my God's not big enough to cover your sins? Come on. And so finally he knelt at the altar, and I gave him communion for the first time. It was so beautiful. We both were weeping. He was over 70 years old when I met him in his garage, and he asked Jesus into his life. He wanted to just make that solid commitment. What a gift. Just a few short months ago, their family asked me to fly to Wisconsin. He had to go up there to be with his family, his last days. His family flew me up to Wisconsin to conduct the funeral service. What a gift. What a beautiful gift. Well, we did the service, and at the very end, the last day after the committal, they gave me a single red rose. And I had no idea that that rose was going to be so significant. Jerry, by the way, he was Major Jerry Day. And you would never know of his ranking. He was such a humble man. He was always seeking truth. And when I'd go visit him, he would always say, "Hey, Pastor, I've got some questions about your sermon." And he would have them all lined out for me. And I was like, wow, he actually takes notes. And he has questions and he studies the Bible. He really listened to what I was preaching on. And he was wanting to absorb as much as he can. Well, the family gave me a rose right before I left. And I took the flight to Atlanta where my connection was going to be. And I was in the restroom. I laid the rose on the table there and was washing my hands. And there was a young lady there. Her name was Susie. And she said, "Somebody really special must have given you that rose." I said, yeah. And then I shared with her the story of why I was there and what I had done. I was just coming back from Jerry's celebration service. And it was so busy in that restroom. People connecting flights in and out. You know how busy Atlanta Airport is. And then she just started weeping. And I walked over to her and I said, "Can I pray with you? I want to show you her." This is Susie. That young boy is 18 years old. That's her son, Andrew. Talk about connections, y'all. A rose. God will use anything to connect you with the people that he wants you to be around. So I just wrapped my arms around. A stranger invited me. I wrapped my arms around her in that crowded restroom, and she wept on my shoulder, and we prayed, and now we're connected. A rose connects me to Susie and Andrew. That connected me to Jerry and Jean. Connected me with Marty. That connected me to some atheists that needed to know the Lord. That connected me to cleaning houses and never-ending laundry. That connected me to a faith walk I never thought that would ever be possible. What about the connections in your life? What about the connections in your life? Can you look back and you see God at work? Whenever we tend to fight him so hard, and he's trying to do something beautiful in each and every one of our lives, but yet we still argue with him because we know better? No. See, if I'd had it my way, I would have still probably been at Southern Company, and I'd probably be retired right now and somewhere off in the Caribbean. God has meant for us to have a very fulfilling life. Very fulfilling. It's not going to be easy, But it all has to do with trust. I want to show you a video about that. Take a look on the screen as we see how powerful our connections can be.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it. Now he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet, oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. Now, is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college, she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ. And of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met. And never will.
God's not finished. You know, there's more testimonies. There's plenty more testimonies of God's faithfulness, regardless of what storm you're going through, what journey that you are going through. Isn't it amazing how we're all connected together?